to the In Your Interest podcast. My name is Ashley, and this week I'm joined, as always, by my colleague and chief strategist, Sebastian McMahon. And this week we have a very interesting encounter with our colleague, Dominic Siciliano, senior vice president, head of fixed income. So welcome, Dom.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome, Dom. It's great to have you here.
It's nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
What people don't know is that Dom is an extraordinary guitar player,
of course,
but they do know it now.
Oh, yeah.
If you saw us at the fundraising for Centraide or at the Christmas show, yeah, I think we did a good job. I have a great partner in crime.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah. And, you know, I'm learning just by looking at you play with, you know, both hands and your eyes closed, and it's always very inspiring. But where you're also very inspiring is in fixed income. And, you know, when people think about investment, you know, everyone thinks about buying stocks. Mm-hmm. I think Nvidia, Apple, whatever, but the size of the bond market is even larger than the equity market.
Yes.
So what is investing in bonds?
Well, nobody ever wants to talk to the bond guy, that's for sure. So that's one thing that's changed, I think, recently because of inflation and how bond prices have changed. But what's really magical, and I'll be a bond geek for a couple seconds when I tell you this, is that there's everything in the price of a sovereign bond. You have absolutely everything in that price. Mm-hmm. And it changed instantaneously with all types of flows of information. So the types of input that we get from economic data, political situations, we talk about cross currencies, how it's interest rate parity with the FX market. So the bond market is really an interesting place where you have, you know, almost perfect information in terms of pricing, and it's always moving every day, and you always have new themes. So it's a lot of fun as an asset class to trade.
Yeah, and it's there's a bit of everything in that price.
Correct.
Including geopolitics.
Exactly. And geopolitical is really taken, I would say, with the globalization of the markets. If we, you know, we don't go through a history lesson, but as you know, we've reached a peak, let's say, in globalization. And that means that for fixed income market, we've never been more sensitive to those type of factors in pricing.
Yeah, and right now, geopolitics are, you know, it's busy on the geopolitical side.
Super busy. And I would say that it's always been. I think it's just that now with the ease of access to information and the fact that we know what's going around the globe instantaneously. And when I say that, not for the last 5 years, but if you go back 20 or 30 years ago, you need carrier pigeons to find out what's happening in China or elsewhere else. Now it's no longer the case. And when you think about geopolitical risk, it's, you know, it's maybe you can break it down into seven factors. It's territorial disputes. So when you look at what's happening right now with Russia and Ukraine, resource competition, China's plan to, you know, not seize, I would say, but to control all the rare minerals. That's a resource competition. Security threats. So those are nuclear proliferation, for example, with North Korea, or what's happening, again, with Ukraine. Alliance and treaties. So free trade agreements with the U.S., that's a geopolitical risk. We had Brexit. That's a geopolitical risk. And then, like I just mentioned, globalization, how we've transferred our manufacturing out of Canada and the U.S., and now it's sort of coming back in a deglobalization movement. Humanitarian crises. We had the situation in Syria and people, you know, exiting Northern Africa to enter Europe. So those are, once again, strong geopolitical factors in the marketplace. And then the final one is ideological competition. And ideology is really where you get right-wing, left-wing, if you're in a democratic state, but also looking at different forms of government in terms of dictatorships or communism and how those ideologies compete on the planet.
Yeah, and these factors are all important because what's driving the interest rates and bond prices are expectations for future economic growth, expectation for future price growth or inflation.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also, you know, the risk appetite, how much are investors prepared to, how much do you want to be compensated for holding long maturity products rather than short maturity products? So there's all of these elements here. And of course, geopolitics is at the center of all of these elements.
You could pick an argument that COVID was a geopolitical event.
Yeah.
If you believe that, then it was a strong source of inflation. It was not wage increase or other factors purely in the economy. It's a geopolitical factor that really moved the inflation dial. So when I think about it for our investment process, I think that what's changed is that the geopolitical landscape is really, it permeates all our aspects of investing right now. So for us, it's very simple. You know, we start with conversations with you, Sebastian, about monetary policy. What are we looking for in terms of what the bank is Canada, what the Federal Reserve is going to do. So that's the first input that we use and gives us an idea of what is, you know, the overnight rate and what is the cheap money or the risk-free rate for our investment models. And then from there, we'll look at the fiscal situation. And you know how geopolitical situations can impact the fiscal. If you think about Trump's sudden tariffs and how that impacted the U.S. economy and obviously inflation and how rates markets move. So fiscal is really, really important. Regulatory framework also. Governments tend to deregulate, escalate regulation or access to markets. And that's another aspect that has a huge implication on pricing bonds because, you know, the bond market is sometimes a 20 or 30 year obligation, if you like. So you have to have an idea of those streams. And then you look at relative value in terms in the same asset class to figure out what where there's value. But each of those components is now, you know, really affected by geopolitical. Consequently, we really have to look at it.
And what are some of those geopolitical themes that are keeping you up at night?
Well, I'm a bond manager, so I don't sleep. So everything worries me. And that's what our job of a bond manager is, to always worry about what could happen next. The deglobalization theme, obviously what's happening in terms of the U.S. foreign policy in the Middle East, if you look at also Ukraine, Russia, there's a human component to that. And it's, you know, it's very difficult to see those type of things happening. But in terms of longer scope, we went through a period from the League of Nations after World War I to a very strong globalization movement. All the free trade agreements that were signed, the creation of the euro area. And now we're at a peak where, because I think of financial crisis of 2008, there is a move, once again, it's driven by politics, to be more extreme, more left and more right. And that's creating a shift for deglobalization, which is what we saw in some of President Trump's policies in terms of, you know, barriers to entry, limiting immigration, trying to force a blockade on the external, if you want, component. Your partner, your commercial partner in the international side is no longer your growth engine. You want to bring it back internally. So that process, if it happens, it's going to have huge repercussions on how we price and how we live also moving forward.
Yeah, and you know, we just came back from the management meeting of IA for 2024 just this morning, just before we came here, and AI was all over the place in the conversation there. And one point that I was making to a group that I was talking to is that the weaponization of AI, the first layer of weaponization, is not going to be robots with machine guns, just like in Terminator. Likely, it's going to be disinformation.
Yeah.
That's going to be, you know, propaganda through videos. And of course, that bleeds right into the geopolitical risk that we're seeing. So maybe at some point, AI could be used to stir up the geopolitical plot, and it could bring, you know, it could have impacts in markets and portfolios.
Definitely, misinformation can lead to political decisions. It could lead to people, activism. So it's something to worry about. So that's definitely a concern for us moving forward.
And what about geopolitics and ESG? How are they interconnected?
So that's a great question, actually. They're very tied together. I mean, it's when we started really focusing on ESG, let's say 15 or 20 years when we started talking about that in terms of the process, but it's really in the last 10 years, I would say, in fixed income, it's taken off. All these things kind of make sense. You know, when you look at the environment, it's a geopolitical risk. If you have, and let's not talk about climate change, not specifically on that issue, but let's say you have areas where, you know, you have less water. Well, where there's less water, people have to leave that area. You can't live in that area, or you're going to have a humanitarian crisis. So the E in ESG is really geopolitical. On the social risk side, if you don't have fair elections, if you as an investor can't have your day in court because you have a dictator that's there or a change in regime, once again, these social issues, or there's no equality for women or minorities are not represented. This is, again, it's something you need to think about in your investment process. And the same thing with governance. You know, governance is huge in terms of having a stable place where you can communicate with companies to ensure that they're doing the right thing. Governance is one of those things where, you know, it's for North Americans, it always sounds like, well, of course, but it's not the same playing field across the planet. So that's really important to have an idea on the governance issue. So ESG and geopolitical intricately tied together.
Yeah. And, you know, as PMs, you know, us too, we share some of the same research services like Eurasia Groups. There are some sources out there that are very thorough, very even influential. I would say if people listening to us now, they interested in geopolitics, they want to follow what's going on. What would you recommend as a source?
So it's a little bit difficult because some of the best sources are paying sources. Like we have Eurasia and a couple other services that are excellent, that give you really a detailed perspective on the geopolitical position. There's some podcasts you can look at. One of them is the World Next Week, which I listen to once in a while, but there are other ones that are interested in looking at. In terms of books, and it's not a political view, there's a book that was written by Kissinger called The New World Order.
Yeah.
It kind of resets a little bit your thinking. It's a good book to get you thinking in a geopolitical format. And also The World, The Brief Introduction is a good layman introduction into the geopolitical world. You have to be a fan of game theory maybe a little bit, very curious. And also if you're one of those people that always reads two or three sources, you know, it's not about being aligned with the political view. It's about reading the right-wing source, the extreme right-wing source, the left-wing source, and extreme left-wing source. And then you get probably a better picture and you get an idea of what's happening.
Yeah. The Kissinger book has been in my library for 2-3 years now, and I have yet to read it. So I think I will follow your lead here and give it a go next week during the spring break here in Quebec City. Just want to add one thing here. You know, we always hear that, you know, equity people tend to be more optimistic in personality. Fixed income people tend to be more pessimistic in personality. You're breaking the mold. How lucid you are on all of these stakes and how curious and interested you are. So a good inspiration, I think, for the kids that are thinking of going into investments. Well, fixed income, no, it can be very exciting.
I was going to say, you guys have been seeing me grinning all this time. I'm so proud to be working with you guys every day. So on another note, everyone, thank you for being there. Thank you for listening to us. And Dominic and Sebastien, thank you for answering all those interesting questions. Have a great day, everyone. Button. Love this podcast? Want to know more about economic news? Follow our In Your Interests podcast, available on all platforms. Visit the economic news page on ia.ca or follow us on social media.